Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. I was not raised in a religious atmosphere. I was taken from a kid. My dad owned a bar, and that's had five brothers older than me, and that's what they did, so that I didn't have no choice. They just drugged me in and out of bars. And, of course, it gets rowdy in there. You know, they get all tanked up, they get rowdy. And get high as a kite, I guess you'd say. They call it having a good time. But, you know, I didn't know anything about church, but I figured when you went to church, you probably didn't act like that. That you were probably refined. I don't know why I thought that. I hadn't been to church, but I thought maybe you was probably refined and dignified and, you know, quiet. And I remember after I got saved, I went to that little old storefront church and hadn't been there long. Till over on my right, there's an old lady, Miss Gray. I never have forgotten her. She was 80 years old or above, still had the bun, you know, on top of the head. And she jumped up and started screaming and skipping and shouting across the front. I turned around, I said, "Is that illegal?" They said, "Yeah, it is." I said, "Well, I want me some of that." Every time she got turned loose, me and her would do a two-step right in the middle of the church. And I've been enjoying it ever since. As Brother Clifford said, to come out on a night like this, it kind of reminds me, you know, on Sunday morning, I call it the meeting of the show horses. You know, people dress up and everybody will come out and they look pretty. And I'm not against that. We want as many people as will come. But I'll tell you, by Monday night, about 80, 90 degrees under a tabernacle, you don't have no show horses. You got work horses. Well, so I'm not saying you look like horses or nothing, but that's just the way it is. You're out here, you're coming to get something. And thank God we've already got something tonight. And I praise the Lord for it. I want us to look here in Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll read verse 23 down through verse 29. Last night we looked at a birth Paul talked about. I was born, he said, out of due time, but he said that was because of grace. A birth of grace. And we noticed that it was not just an amazing grace, but it was a maze of grace that went in to Saul of Tarsus and, unbeknownst to anybody else, brought him out as one of the greatest preachers ever, the Apostle Paul. And I'm glad that God's grace is still working in the maze of life even right now. Somewhere out there, there's no doubt somebody's in a stupor of drunkenness that may be the next preacher that preaches under this tabernacle in years to come. Or might be out there influenced by drugs. It may be the next song leader that'll lead the song. I promise you, somewhere out there, grace is working to bring one more in. As it brought the Apostle Paul in. But tonight I want to look at another birth. I call it a birth of faith. We're talking about how that Jochebed and Amram birthed Moses into this world. I went to the chiropractor a few years back, and I noticed on his desk there set a portrait of he, his wife, and it looked like about seven children stair steps from maybe 20 on down to maybe 10 or 11. And then it dropped off all the way down to it looked like about a two-year-old standing there. And that was kind of peculiar to me, so I asked, I said, "What happened?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "How come you waited so long on that last one?" He said, "Well, I come home from work one day and I walked in Young'uns was laying around everywhere, and said, my wife looked at me and she said, we're missing one. He said, missing one what? She said, one young'un. He said, I went to counting, and never how many of them there was, said they were all present. And said, I said, what do you mean? They're all here. He said, no. She said, no. I feel like there's one more. And said, right there he is. Well, I think that back during the time of Amram and Jochebed, under that slavery in Egypt, that you would have thought they would have been well off just to keep Aaron and Miriam. They had two children. And to birth another one would mean that you would birth him into slavery. You would birth him into bondage. And also the commandment had already given to kill all of the male children, so it would endanger him. So wouldn't you think it had been better off just not to have another one? But yet we find here in our text, we're going to read that there was one more. But that one more came by faith. I'm talking about the one more that would not and could not have been except it had been for faith.
That's right.
And what I want to do is I want to look at this text and make application tonight.
Amen.
As to the importance of faith in our hearts and lives in touching the hearts and lives of others. I want us to look at the effect and effect of Amram and Jochebed's faith upon this young baby by the name of Moses. So let's read this scripture and then we'll go into the word as the Lord has laid on my heart of this one more by faith. And by the way, if God ever does anything, He'll do it and begin it with a birth. A birth of grace and a birth of faith. I can prove that tonight. Every one of you that's under this tabernacle are here because you were born physically. And if you are a child of God, you are here saved because you were born spiritually. God does the birthing. But let's look in this text now. The Bible said in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now it's referring to Jochebed and Amram's faith. They the ones that hid him. Because they saw he was a proper child. They saw the hand of God on him. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. I want to ask you, how come they wasn't afraid of the king? It's in the second word of the verse. Faith. Hallelujah. And then this faith moves to Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now how come after all of that money, all of that training, and all of that teaching, and all of that power, all that position, all those promises, did he turn it all down? By faith. By faith. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now why under God's heaven would you rather get persecuted than be the man in power? By faith, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. How in the world did he even know Christ? Where in the world did he get that information? I'm talking about the effects and effects of his parents' faith upon him. So much so that he recognized Jesus all the way in the Old Testament. Don't let that shock you. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. Notice it said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He said there's a big payday coming. And Egypt can't afford or match the payday. Now, how can he figure that out? By faith. This world can't pay you well enough. But what you're going to get by faith, serving God. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Now this is the same faith that's found in verse 23, because there's not two faiths. There's not three faiths. There's not denominational and religious faiths. Jude said the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You're either believing God or you're not believing God. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. How come he didn't fear the king? I'll tell you why. Because the faith of his mom and daddy didn't fear the king. So he had the same faith and it didn't fear the king. Somebody said, how come you ain't afraid? He said, well, my mama never was afraid. I ain't afraid either. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. I ask you, how come Moses could pass through and not be drowned? How come? By faith. How come the Egyptians could not pass through and were drowned? No faith. Let us look at this one who became as a result of someone else's faith. But can I say to you tonight that if you are here and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only reason why you have is because someone else who had faith became an influence upon you and pointed you to Christ so that you could believe upon Him. And can I say to you that Jesus said, when I come upon the earth, shall the Son of Man find faith? Well, I'm here to tell you, if there's anybody going to believe in Jesus when He comes back, somebody's going to have to be believing Him right now. Because the faith of the future depends upon the faith of the present. So I don't know if I really believe that. Well, 2 Timothy 1:5, here's what Paul said to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. He said your mama believed God and your grandmama believed God. And I believe that's the whole reason why you're believing God. Somebody believe in God so somebody else can believe God. The just shall do what? Live by faith. And honey, if the church is ever going to reach the one more that needs to believe, we're going to have to live by faith right now. We are saved through faith. We are kept through faith. We have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to say to you, we're going to have to believe so the next generation can trust Him also. Now, three or four things, and I want to get a bottle of water on credit. Right there it is. I always say on credit, because if the sermon's bad, I'll pay you back. I want us to know now, and notice as the scripture emphasizes this relationship of Moses' parents to him and how it has everything to do with his faith because of their faith. The first thing that I would suggest to you in that God ordained a Moses for Amram and Jochebed, what he is doing is he is allowing them to experience faith. For a lot of people, faith means nothing more than just a word or a term. Faith is something that is religious. But somehow it is so abstract that it has no effect upon our everyday living. It's more of something that is intangible or theoretical. As a matter of fact, it seems almost to be lifeless. It's just a term. But I want to say to you, to Jochebed and Amram, it was probably that way to them. Until the day that God brought this matter of faith, a revelation to the point of reality. And he did this with something that was human or something that was natural. What he did, I'm looking for something that'll make a baby for me. So I just use this. A premature baby, I guess. So what he does, they're minding their own business. But they're supposedly people of faith. I mean, after all, they're children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But you would call them religious people. But really, faith has no real effect in their lives. It's not really active. Until God comes down to their level. God comes into their environment. God steps into their world. God comes into their situations. God comes to Egypt where they're at in bondage with a law that says every male child shall be executed, and we've got the midwives to say so. They're right in the midst of that. And then one day God comes along and says, I'm going to give you a baby boy. When she gets that baby boy, what she realizes is all the circumstances of which she's going to birth that child into this world. And that how he is going to be hunted and despised and sought after. So what happens is she now begins to experience her faith. Faith becomes a reality. Because God has put something in her life now that she's going to have to believe Him for. And oh, how she loves Him and how she holds Him and how she caresses Him. But she knows He can't live long. He can't make it unless somebody believes God. And so you can see her begin to pray and begin to beseech God and begin to seek His face. Because she now has something tangible. She has something that is physical. She has something that is natural. She has something that she can touch and that she can feel and she can say. Faith ain't going to work in your life until God births something that becomes a reality to you that you have to trust Him for. And then you begin to experience your faith. Now you can talk about what's going on in everybody else's life and be real spiritual about it until God comes down into your predicament and your situation and produces an impossibility. And now you have to use this faith that only God can give. I don't know what He'll put in your heart or in your arms. But it'll be something mundane. It'll be something temporal. It'll be something real. But He will birth something that you will find yourself crying out to Him for. And you will begin to experience your faith for as long as that's around. She's believing God for a baby. Has the Lord ever brought something real into your life? Unexpected circumstance and situation. It may be a financial one. It may be a physical one. It may be one of your children that's went haywire or went astray. Or it may be, preacher, God gave you a church.
Said, here, I want you to pastor this. You've been thinking you knew how to do that. You've been talking about how everybody else ought to do it. But all of a sudden, it's your baby. And you get in there and them deacons get to looking at you sideways. And you get to looking at the money and they ain't enough even to pay the bills and they didn't tell you before they elected you. And all of a sudden, but you know God put it in your heart. It's your baby. What do you start doing? How do you start believing God? God has to bring something real and temporal and tangible. Don't get mad when these things of this world begin to fall apart. God's giving you a chance to experience your faith. By faith.
Amen.
She built an ark. By faith, she built that box. She had to. She had to go to the extreme by faith. And she put that baby in her. And I've been down to that Nile River. And put that baby down that Nile River. And knew that it was filled with alligators. How could she do that? She's got faith. And she's experiencing that faith. And the more faith she's experiencing, the more faith she's got to experience. She experienced faith when she looked into his eyes and said, oh boy, I wasn't planning on you in a situation like, oh God, would you take care of him? She's experiencing faith when they come a knocking on the door and she thinks it's the soldiers and she puts him behind the door and says, Lord, don't let him see that he's there. She's experiencing more faith as she begins to build that little ark or has her husband to do it. And oh, what a faith when she lays him in there and places him in the water. How can she do it? She's got faith and it's working. What God is faith that won't work? Aren't you glad God lets you experience faith?
Yes.
Woo!
Huh?
Yeah.
For all of His children, there will come that time of which there will be that situation that the only answer to it is you're going to have to believe God. But as you believe God, what you're doing is you're experiencing your faith. Somebody said, well, how you know she's got faith? Look at the baby. If you ain't got no baby, you ain't got no faith. If there's nothing you're believing God for, honey, you've got no faith to believe God for. He's going to make sure that all of us exercise our faith. He's going to give us a baby. In the worst of situations, the worst of conditions, the way you're going to have to believe Him. Abraham had to believe God for an Isaac. Noah had to believe God for an ark. He'll bring something alive within you. That's what faith does. It brings something alive. Something that's got a nose and something that's got eyes. Even something that smells bad every now and then. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Faith, it'll birth something that is alive. And you'll know how precious it is. This won't be a Toys R Us doll that you can go out and buy at Wally World somewhere. That you can just, you get tired of it, you just throw it under or whatever, or you can replace it with something else, honey. This is something that will become precious when God works in your heart in a natural way with something He wants you to believe Him for. He'll make sure that thing is the dearest thing to your heart. So you will believe Him. She ain't going to take this baby lightly. And I'm going to tell you, she's watching him. How you know she's got faith? Look at him. He's alive. Something that is your heartbeat. Something that is your heartbeat. Something that possesses your all. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
say, oh God, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to drop this. Oh God, I want you to get the glory out of this. I'm going to believe you. I'm just going to believe you. God putting you in a place in a natural way through earthly circumstances to where everybody else may think it's ridiculous, but in you, it's your heartbeat. And you're saying, oh God, the alligators, oh God, the king, oh God, he's so young. I thank you, God. Second thing I want to say to you in this matter of the birthing of one more by faith, I'm talking about this matter of the effects and effects of our faith on others. I would point out to you that through Moses, she is privileged to experience her faith. It becomes real to her. But through Moses, can I say to you, secondly, she is able to encounter her faith. Because anywhere you find real, genuine faith, there's going to be something human, something natural, something that is real, something that is pliable, something that is touchable, and something you can feel and something you can see. God's going to bring something to focus in the physical. There's going to be that human aspect to it. But I want to say to you, beyond her experience of faith in the natural, that she has to believe God for this little boy, I want you to understand there is the encounter of her faith. Because we move beyond that which is natural or that which is human to that which is heavenly. There'll not only be the natural aspect to your faith, there will be the divine aspect to your faith. Your faith will not only be alive, but it will have a divine touch to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Her faith had a human touch to it. That's where God worked it in her and out of her. But it had a divine touch to it. Don't worry about it. When God sews you up in a physical situation to where it looks like there is no answer, no way out, because I'm going to tell you something, once He has ignited faith in you, what's going to happen is you're going to be able to see things from a heavenly perspective. You're going to see more than just the divine. You're going to see more than just a Moses. You're going to see more than just a baby. Now, are you seeing what I'm saying? Look, if you will. The Bible said that they saw in verse number 23, it was a proper child. Now, if you look at the rendering of that, what it means is they saw that this was not normal. That though he was natural, there was something beyond the natural that was working. Have you ever caught a glimpse of that? You saw the natural, you realize what it's got, legs and feet and the head and the mouth and it cries and what all that, but then all of a sudden, you said, whoa. What was that? I see the human, but now there's a glimpse of the heavenly showing up. Now listen, if you'll take your Bible and go to Acts chapter number 7, that is where Stephen is preaching, as I said last night, to Saul of Tarsus. He gives the Old Testament history of Israel. He comes to Moses' birth. And the Bible said when Moses was born, he was, here's the words, exceeding fair. Exceeding fair. I was curious about that and I looked up that word exceeding. Do you know that word exceeding is translated 1,300 times in your Bible, God. exceeding is translated G-O-D. You know what that word is in the Greek? It's the word theos. Think about that. The word theos. In other words, they said, when they looked at this old boy, and the more they looked at this old boy, the less of the human they saw, and the more of the divine side of faith. Amen. Now, they wasn't looking at him and calling him God. Right. Right. They was looking at everything that come out of him, and they said, whoa, I wasn't expecting this to happen. I mean, when that boy was given to me, he was my lot in time. I mean, I received him from the Lord. Amen. That I didn't realize what was going to come out of one little baby. Now, I want to tell you something. The way you're going to know you got faith is not only that you've got something in you that's alive you're believing God for, but that you're able to witness the divine in it. Nothing short of heaven working in an earthly situation. What else could you say? She's encountering God through her faith. I mean, when Moses took that rod, and I'm going to tell you, he raised it up and split the Red Sea. When he did that, what would you say? Baptist? That's bound to be Methodist there, or Presbyterian. No, there wasn't but one thing to say. Theos! God! When Moses called those plagues down on the land of Israel, when he cast that rod down and it became a snake, what do you say about that? You just got one word. That's God. And what the Lord will do is He will take a situation in your life. He will come in so you can experience faith. But in experiencing faith, what He's letting you do is experience Him. That's where He's going to work and what He's going to work through. God's working through the baby. I mean, they thought that they was just having a baby. That's what they thought. They said, well, he's Moses, and he's got arms, he's got legs, he's got feet. I got me a baby. They got a baby, and they're believing, oh, I'm believing God for the baby. And you can see the baby. I mean, he's all physical. Moses is running around over through there, and then all of a sudden they said, did you see that, Amram? He said, I think I did. What did you say? I think I saw God. Is that God working? She said, I believe it is. It's God. Everything that Moses did, he did as a result of faith. The effects and effects of faith that brought God down. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't move on anything or through anything but that which is wrought by faith. But once faith begins to believe God for what God has ignited and what God has given, I want you to know God begins to show up. I do not want to live my Christian life in the mundane, just being a preacher, traveling from church to church and going through the religious motions. Every now and then I want to go, did you see that? That was God! I mean, the situation will get so bad, and you'll just look in, it's a mess. You say, well, you put me here, Lord, and I don't understand why it's going through all of this. And all of a sudden, you get up and start to preach, and you'll say, wow, I see God move on. And God will come right down in the midst of the impossible thing and do impossible things through faith. And you'll come away saying, I've not only experienced my faith in the human, I've encountered my faith in the divine. What are the things in your life that the only answer for is God? Well, don't get mad at Him because He wants you to experience Him.
Well, I don't know why he gave me this baby down here in Egypt, and everybody in Pharaoh's courthouse is mad about it, and they're chasing us. I don't know why he'd do that. So you could encounter God in what God does through that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will only work in the encountering where the experience has taken place. So honey, when you get into that impossible situation and God lays a baby on you, just say, hallelujah! Something big's about to happen! God's going to intervene! Look out, Pharaoh! God's on the way! I'm watching what He's doing ahead of time. Yes, it is. And I thank you. I say to you, people of faith, the next generation needs our faith. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints, that Paul saw in Timothy and in his mama and in his grandmama. But if they see that faith and they express that faith and they believe God, we're going to have to live by faith now in the experiences and in the encounter. And I say to you, thirdly, that in Moses, she was not only privileged to experience her faith, that which is human, has a human touch to it, and encounter her faith, that which is, has a heavenly touch to it. But I want to emphasize to you how that through Moses, she is able to express her faith. Express her faith. Now, it is here that we understand the importance of her faith being transferred or impacting his heart. Because faith not only has a human touch to it and a heavenly touch to it, it always has a heart touch to it. The Bible said that the righteousness of God is from faith to faith. And if the next generation knows anything about the righteousness of God like we do, they're going to have to experience the faith of God. They're going to have to believe God. She is aware that God has not only given her Moses, she had him, but she is going to not only have to receive him, but she's going to have to raise him. And the reason why he's put in her lap is not to train him how to be a good social Egyptian, or to how to make a living and have a good job in Egypt. As a matter of fact, she don't want him to have anything to do with Egypt. But there's only one thing that's going to have the power to deliver him from all that Egypt has to offer.
That's right.
The Bible said faith is the victory that overcometh the world. I want to tell you that this world has no more to offer our children than what Egypt had to offer Moses. Because it offered Moses everything. But there was one thing that he got from his parents that Egypt didn't have, that caused him to reject it lock, stock, and barrel. The faith of his mom and daddy had got in
to where he come of age, and he looked around and he said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I am sick and tired of all of this. But I was told when I was a baby that there was a heavenly people down here. And I'm going to go over where they are. And I am going to settle in with the people of God. Somebody said, why'd he do that? I'll tell you why. The faith of his mom and daddy. She is expressing that faith. Now, if you got any doubt about that, all you got to do is go back and look at the text and what it says. Notice what he's choosing. Notice what he's seeing. Notice what he's esteeming. Notice what he's not fearing. Notice why what he's keeping. And somebody said, why is he doing that? I'm going to tell you why. This is the effects and the effects of a mom and daddy that's living by faith. The best thing you can do with your children is let them see your faith. She's got to show him her faith, and he's got to see her faith. But if he ever sees her faith, he's ruined for this whole world. He said, I can't believe it. And I don't know why, but I was over there and I saw Jesus in the palace. I saw invisible things. I'd wake up and feel the presence of God. I just felt like I wasn't a part of this old world. That there was another country I was being called to. Somebody said, how'd he know all that? She set him down. She began to instruct and impress and teach. He was her lot in time and she had little time. And can you see her taking that boy and sitting him down at 2 or 3 years old and saying to him, now son, listen to me. You got to get this. I ain't got a lot of time. Oh God, would you help me transfer it to his heart? I'm going to believe you. I want you to say Jehovah. Can you say Jehovah? I can see Moses said Jehovah. No, Moses has said Jehovah. Moses, would you say Elohim? Moses, I want to tell you about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Moses, I want to tell you about our people of God. Moses, I want to tell you about a promise that God gave to your great-grandfather, that his people would come down in here to Egypt for 450 years. But said Moses, God said he was going to raise up. See, hold on, Moses, I got to shout. Whoa! You can see her shouting. She knows the deliverer is on the way. Faith has showed her that. Said Moses. He said 450 years we was going out of here. He was going to raise up and deliver her. And Moses, we've already seen. You're the man God has called and raised up by faith. But Moses, I want you to understand. You ain't the only deliverer. But he's promised there's going to come another deliverer raised up just like you. That's not only to deliver a nation, but it's going to deliver the world. Moses, do you understand what I'm telling you, boy? I want you to get this. It moved from heart to heart until what was birthed in her was birthed in him. He got down there in them classes and they was trying to teach him and train him. His mind just said, Moses, you're not paying attention in the class now. You're not going to get, what are you staring at? He said, no, I ain't staring at nothing. I was just thinking. What are you thinking about? Oh, I can't tell you. Y'all wouldn't like it. It wouldn't line up with the curriculum or something. Whatever that is. I might need some more water. But Moses' faith becomes ignited in his heart as a result of what his mama's put in.
She's not interested in him moving up the ladder, corporate ladder in Egypt. The best thing we can give our children, are you understanding me, is our faith. And I like that old gospel song that Willie Nelson used to sing. You might have heard it. Waylon Jennings and him sang. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be. You listened to it too, didn't you? I'll tell you, if we could have Jochebed here tonight, she'd stand up and say, Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be pharaohs, ruling and reigning and causing all the pain and sorrows. Woo! You didn't think I could sing, did you? Huh? She's got one ambition with the time she's got this boy, and that's to get God in him so that he could believe God and become the deliverer of the children of Israel. She is believing God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad, you that are of faith right here? Aren't you thankful for all those that believe God before you? And God used them to ignite that faith in you so you can believe God. How many mamas and grandmamas and grandpas and grandmas and preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers and singers, God has used their faith to touch our hearts so that we can have faith. Preaching over in around Chattanooga in a conference, went in one morning. You could see down the aisle, had an aisle like this. I'm talking about them impressions and instructions as she expresses her faith to his heart. There's a dear saint down there, Mrs. Kate is her name. She's in her close to 90. Her husband used to pastor that church. I knew him. Got to know him probably 5 or 6 years before he passed away. But she's a woman that when she gets touched, now she's very quiet, hardly ever says a word. But I'll tell you, if the Lord moves, you better watch out. She'll come out of there praising God. And it was one of those services like we was having and people were praising God. She was sitting about 2/3 of the way back. A little bit. There was a bunch of people shouting. I just happened to notice her because I was sitting right dead center in the back in the balcony. And she stood up and she started praising God. It wasn't a half a minute to her son, who was also a preacher and a pastor down there around Atlanta, was probably 4 or 5 pews back. He didn't know nothing about what she's doing, and she's too caught up in what she's doing to worry about what anybody else is doing. He stood up and he started praising God. Now he's in front of him. I told my wife, I said, I want you to look at that. She raised her hand, he raised his hand. She raised the other hand, he raised his hand. She took a step over here, he took a step over there. He, everything he did in praise was identical to her actions. Somebody said, how come? Well, that's very simple. She'd been shouting ever since she was a young girl. He was in her womb for 9 months while she's shouting. He picked up on those movements while he was in the womb. Bouncing around the kitchen, moving around the wall. They had all them camp meetings like this. He's an old camp meeting preacher, one of the main ones in that area. Just sawdust. I imagine them setting that little boy, you know, they had to put a chair on his
coattail and set him there while they had service. They always sang, and then he'd preach, and I can see her cut loose shouting. He's a 1 year old looking up and watching Mom. We saw that in the choir. Did you see that little baby on the front row there watching as the brother was running around? And he just, it wasn't disturbing him none. His mind was taking pictures going through that. I said, hallelujah, get a hold of him, God. I don't know, maybe at 16 years old, I never asked him. You know how you get to that age where you get a little embarrassed about what your parents do? He probably said, oh no, to his friends back there. Mama's going to start shouting just any time now. She'll throw this hand up and that hand up and step forward and step back and all that. Somebody said, how come he knew all of that? I'm going to tell you why. Because her faith had got ignited in his heart and had come alive. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you a long life's journey. Brother Ed McAbee, that they had the homegoing jubilee for today is what it turned into. But how many preachers are preaching and they got a touch of Brother Ed on them? Huh? You got a touch of Brother Ed on it. I think about an old preacher back in the mountains of West Virginia, Brother Dick Limble. Worked in the coal mine all of his days, but was an evangelist. He'd come out and preach meetings. But because those coal mines on the sleeves was only like 4.5 foot, he had to work with his head over because he had a light on. He'd look around. And when he preached like he's in the coal mine. He'd preach with his head down like that. He'd get up, just maul around, talk, and quote a verse. He'd say, don't worry about me, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Then after a while, you could tell he'd hit a trail. And once he did, his eyes would go to the ceiling, had those little brown eyes, and I'll tell you, they'd just dart to the ceiling. He'd never look down again. And I mean to tell you, he would head a hack to him. Hi, I want to send you, neighbor. Hi. John in that old book of Revelation. Hi. Saw that new Jerusalem coming down. What I'm trying to say to you is that over these 50 years, they've been saints of praying and saints of loving and saints of living by faith and preachers of preaching that God Almighty has put that in my heart. And there'll be times that I'm preaching, I can feel a touch of this one and then feel a touch of that one. And somebody said, Moses, how come you ain't afraid? He said, cause mama wasn't afraid. Said, Moses, how come you don't want Egypt? He said, cause mama didn't want nothing to do with Egypt. Said, Moses, how come you want to get out of here? He said, cause mama wanted out of here. She affected and affected him for time and eternity. She touched him for 120 years. But honey, she touched the world ever since then. Have you ever thought about the faith of that mama and daddy that birthed that old boy into this world and God used their faith to birth faith in him to believe God? And what came out of it? You've got no idea what God's doing beyond you instead of around you when He does something and gives you the desire to believe Him for it. And begins to show himself in it. This ain't just for you, honey. This is for 120 years down the road. And this is for 4,000 years beyond that. As a matter of fact, anything by faith that's done in time will show up in eternity. Everything any saint ever does in time by faith will last through eternity. It's a privilege for God to allow you to exercise your faith and encounter faith and express your faith. He's given you the ability not only to touch time, but touch eternity. You say, preacher, well, how do you prove that? Well, you touch Moses and look at everything that happened during his life. And that touched the whole land of Egypt. Didn't it? And that touched the whole family of God. In time. In time. But that wasn't the end of it. That little expression of faith out of their hearts now, going back, because what I want you to know is you can't talk about his faith but what you talk about their faith. And you can't talk about their faith but what you talk about his faith. I mean, you can't disconnect it. And honey, you can't disconnect. I said to you, it is the faith once delivered unto the saints. And the same thing that was delivered unto me was delivered unto somebody, is delivered unto somebody, and it's given to me to deliver to somebody else. And I tell you, child of God, I know the Bible said that Paul kept the faith, and we're supposed to keep the faith. But not only are we supposed to keep the faith, we're supposed to deliver the faith. Once delivered unto the saints. Don't leave out of your this world with you the only one having faith. Make sure you've left somebody behind. Believe in God when you draw your last breath. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. There's some doctrinal truths and amenity that God gave the church that we can't do without. In time. But they won't be worth a hill of beans in eternity. So the worst thing you do, try to carry them out of here. You need to hand them off. Somebody said, what is that? Well, one of them's hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. Well, if a man sees it, why does he get hope for? You don't need no hope in heaven. That's going to be left behind. It's the same thing with faith. You ain't going to have to believe God for nothing when you get to heaven. There ain't going to be nothing there of any trials or any sorts to have to believe Him for. So don't think about taking it with you. Make sure you've left it with somebody. Huh? Leave that faith. Where's my baby at? Make sure you've left that baby with somebody else. Amen. We went to Brother Ed's funeral today. I don't know how many preachers and people there were, but every one of them were touched by his faith. So that when they closed that lid, they didn't shut him up. The faith had already been shared. And what she is doing with Moses, she is sharing her faith. Leaving her faith at work, I'm telling you, for 120 years. But not only 120 years, thank God it's still working today. For instance, where would we be without the first five books of the Bible? You know where that came from, don't you? That little baby that faith believed God for. Brought, I think about this. The Ten Commandments. Huh? I heard a unintelligent politician here a while back. When they were trying to take prayer, the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, Judge Moore's in Alabama. They interviewed him and said, well, why are you so aggressive in getting the Ten Commandments out of the court? He said, well, I'm afraid of the negative impact on our children. What? You mean like, thou shalt not kill? I mean, that'd be terrible if your children picked up on that. That's what's happening in America. That's why it's like it is. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false. Are you an idiot or what? I'm here to tell you I'm glad for the faith that was ignited, that believed God to bring about a Moses that would leave us something by faith that would touch the world in this hour, and I'm even preaching on it now. Birth of faith. That we'll be blessed to believe God for. That will be evident in eternity. Illustration and I close. Dr. Jack Hudson used to pastor the Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte. How many of y'all remember? What a gracious man. What a preacher that he was. So tender. I was 19 years old. Come here, brother. I want you just to stand right here. I'm thinking about the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I was headed home from church riding a little old blue Volkswagen, 18 years old. And he was preaching. And he was using that verse in Jude concerning the faith once delivered unto the saints. And of course he emphasized that there are not many faiths. There's only one faith that believes God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was, at this time of year, it was football season. He made an analogy. He said, football's kind of like life. He said, in football, there's inevitably going to come a fourth down. He said, when the fourth down comes, you got two choices. He said, you can run the ball or you can kick it. He said, but if you kick the ball, you've lost it to the other team. And he went back in the Word of God. He's talking about the faith once delivered. You understand what I'm saying? Delivering. We are deliverers. No. Before we leave this world, we need to deliver something. That faith. And he said, he went all the way back to Abel, and I tell you, he brought that thing down to Noah. He brought that thing down to Abraham. He brought that thing down to David. He brought that thing down to Elijah, handing it off to Elisha. Brought that thing all the way down through the New Testament. And then he got to the Apostle Paul and Timothy that we was reading about. He said it was a fourth down in Paul's life. They's fixing to cut his head off according to history, if that's so. And said, here he was coming around. Now understand, he's got that football analogy. But he ain't going to kick the ball. He ain't going to turn it over. He ain't going to lose the faith. He's got it gripped. And here he comes, headed down. And the fourth down to have his head chopped off. And he said, as Paul was rounding the corner, headed to heaven, said he lateraled that ball back to Timothy. He said, run that ball, boy, run that ball. And he said, Timothy, run the ball. And thank God the other saints down through the years has run the ball. And I want you to know Brother Ed has run the ball. And he didn't kick the ball. He lateraled it back to you. And he lateraled it back to me. And I could hear him say right now, run that ball. Started out, me and my brother got saved. No gospel influence at all. I was in hopes that all my family would get saved. My brothers began to die off because of alcohol, cirrhosis of the liver, my dad. I remember being up on that old cold mountain in West Virginia, Schultz Cemetery. Buried my brother. And I was walking down. And I was complaining to God. I said, Lord, I hear preachers testify and people that got saved how that
so many of their families got saved. And I said, why is it you're not saving people in my family? He just spoke to my heart and he said, well, you got no idea what I'm doing. And I thought, well, no, I don't. But here's what I want to tell you. That since that time, now there's no record of my dad ever entering into a church. But right now, my nephew did a little book on the family of the children and the grandchildren. We went up to West Virginia and set up a tent. And of my father's direct descendants, there were six of us preachers that are preaching right now. Woo! And as he counted it, he counted that there were 60 right now in the Williams generation born again. Woo! You say, what happened? The faith that was once delivered unto the saints is still a-going. Hallelujah. And when they closed the lid on me, I done got two sons as Baptist preachers and daughters that sang and playing the piano and grand youngins doing the same. I want to leave the faith for them. He said, why? Because Jesus said, when I return, is there going to be faith upon the earth? And I want to say to you that the only way there's going to be faith when he gets back is there's going to have to be the saints believing God right now. Let's stand. I don't know. I'm thinking of a song that y'all might know. I don't know if it's in the songbook. Living by faith.
Yeah.
Is it in there? All right, let's do it by faith.
Yeah.